Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 14 on Through the Word. As the saints sing a new song, angels proclaim the gospel, and the harvest of the earth begins. It's a vibrant picture here in chapter 14. Amazing stuff. And I have to admit, some of it I can't wait to teach through, and some of it is hard. In the same chapter, we have the forgiveness of God and the wrath of God. Now, it's tempting to teach you one and skip the other, but this is God's revelation, not mine. And here in God's revelation is the great winepress of God's wrath. It's a hard truth, but I'll take hard truth over soft lies any day. The question today is, which one will the world choose? Let's dig in at verse 1. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. So the chapter begins with Jesus, the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion. That's the hill where Jerusalem sits. And with him, the 144,000 Jews who were sealed for God's service back in chapter 7. And John sees Jesus with his people, because Jesus promised to be with us to the very end of the age. So here he is. Then in verse 2, John hears a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. I think chapter 14 is meant to be read with your ears. The sounds here are awesome, so listen carefully as you read. As John listens, a song begins in heaven, a new song that only the 144,000 can learn. Now, I like that picture. A song is a wondrous thing. Sometimes a song hits me, and it's like my heart suddenly got a voice. And my heart's voice sounds like rhythm and words, and it expresses emotions and memories and life and worship and tears all rolled together. A song like that is born out of hard trials and great joys. And when you sing it together with those who went through it with you, that's your song. That's how I see this song. These 144,000, they share a mission like no other. And this song is theirs. It is their story and their worship, and they sing it. I mean, think about it. Imagine their calling. They serve in the tribulation. The entire world needs relief work, desperately. And God sends them. Verse 4 describes their calling. For one, they're called to purity. Now, marriage is a good thing. But in that time, with their calling, they remain virgins. And they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Now, that's mission. Follow the Lamb. Where would Jesus go? And they were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. Now, a first fruit is the very first part of the harvest. As we saw, the harvest of new believers in the tribulation will be a countless multitude. Again, the picture here suggests that the 144,000 will be witnesses, and they will reach many, but it will not be easy. They will have to be blameless. Integrity is key to their witness. But from that work, they have a song, and that is theirs alone. Do you have a song? You know what I mean, a song. Something that reminds you of where you came from and what you've been through, that you share with the ones who went through it with you, and with God who never left you. When my wife and I were newlyweds, we decided that our song would be Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. Then we realized it was a drinking song, so we changed it. But seriously, do you have a song like Moses sang after they crossed the Red Sea? The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I love that one. They sang it because it was their experience. The Lord is my song. Well, back here in chapter 14, the scene changes from a song to the voice of angels. Verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. As we read on, John sees three angels, or hears, really. Now, the word angel means messenger, so these angels could be a picture of God's people or even technology, or it could be real angels. But whatever the case, the important thing is the three messages. First, the eternal gospel. The whole world hears clearly. in every language on the planet, salvation, forgiveness. Jesus died so you could live. The price is paid. Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship the Creator. The second angel in verse 8, fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. Now, in the Bible, Babylon is the worldly system that is set up against God. It is false religion, and it is a commercial society built on money and on man's work, apart from God. Now, we'll explain more in chapter 17, but basically, angel number 2 tells the whole world it's all going down. The whole system is crashing, so let go, jump ship before it sinks. See, that's what the tribulation is all about. God does everything he can to save. The world system is messed up. God has to sink this ship, but his angels call out to every last person, get in the lifeboat. God built you an ark, and it's big enough for everyone. But then, some people are a little too happy hanging out in the Titanic bar and casino, if you know what I mean. So a third angel cries out, again in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. And here we have the hard truth, and it comes in a cup. The cup of God's wrath, the wine of God's fury. See, that casino that the world is hanging out in is not all innocent fun. I'm not preaching on gambling or drinking. It's a metaphor, but it is a good picture. A man can throw his life away on a pair of dice. He can destroy himself for a shot of tequila. But it's not the dice and it's not the liquor. It's sin. It's greed and lust and lies. The angels are calling out, let it all go. Stand up and walk out before the ship sinks, and don't take the mark. In verse 11, there is no rest if you take that mark, and hell is pictured in no uncertain terms, smoke and torment rising forever. But God's people, with God's mark, be patient, it says. It's not the easy road, but in verse 13, God's people will find rest. After the warnings are out, it's time for the harvest. The chapter ends with the harvest of God's wrath. Now, a harvest is the time to gather the crop after the grain of the fruit has fully grown. It's a powerful picture. Harvest always comes after a long wait. In the Bible, fruit is evidence. It tells you what the vine or tree really is. Now, you know for sure which seeds took root when the fruit is ripe. Now, the picture here is the patience of God's wrath. He waits. He doesn't judge the seeds, doesn't destroy the little plant. He allows the wicked to prove themselves for what they are. But when the fruit is ripe, the grapes are gathered for the great winepress of God's wrath. And the picture is grim. God's wrath is severe, but is it fair? And we'll come back to that question in chapter 15. For now, read Revelation 14. Find your song. Proclaim his gospel and save anyone and everyone who will listen.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.